Tonight, as we continue looking at doing business with God. Now, remember, you and I, in our walk through life, is focused on the life that God has created for us. See, when he created the world and he created the heavens, you know, all that exists, everything that he's created has been for him to create for the ones he loved. Who are the ones he loves? The human race. God's greatest gift to us through his son was all the worlds that exist, all the space that exists, not just little Mother Earth, great earth, but the Lord said, this earth is dying. It let us know that the curse that was placed due to the sin was placed upon the earth. We read scripture time and again how the earth is groaning as it dies. That sort of gives us reflection of how we feel. The older we get, I mean, I bet you I've been groaning for the past year and a half. Every ache and pain that's going on. It gets to one. And then one day, one day the Lord says, that's it. But when the Lord says, that's it, he's saying that's it to the hurt and the pain that we know. He's saying that's it to all things that are evil. He's saying that's it to all the bad times of life. Do you know that as soon as we leave this body, we will never have a day that's not perfect? Of course, he gives us the perfect days now. We just mess them up about the time we open our eyes. But God is going to give us, already has. It's all planned. It's already there. God knows everything about us. And he truly knows more about us than we know about us. Well, have you ever made this statement? You know, I just don't understand me. You know, why did I say that? Why did I do that? I mean, I cannot believe that I did that. Kidder says it all the time. And I said, I believe it. I believe anything you do, Kidder. Now, God does love us, and the proof of that is we're still alive, and he still loves us. Now, he's going to express the greatness of his love where we can understand it. That is expressed to us at the split second or millisecond, however you want to break it down, to when God says, you are through, you finished the work through your body, come on home. We will look at each other. We will know each other. Yes, folks, the scripture lets us. We will know each other. We will have love one for the other. We will have a relationship with God the same way God has a relationship with his own son. Jesus said that. Jesus said, well, not only that, now that I'm leaving, boys, I'm leaving, but all you've seen me do, you can do, and you can do even more than you ever saw me do, because I am going to sit at the right hand of my Father. He's in intercessory prayer on our behalf all the time. And how do I know that it's all the time? Because I know my congregation, and it has to be all the time for us, because there's always something. Have you noticed that there is something going on in every family, negative at all times? And for one thing, don't stop long enough to start thinking about it. Because when you start thinking about the negative things that are going on within family, then you start getting discouraged, and then you create more negative things. But here's what God wants us to do. He says, I've created you, and I have a business. God says, I'm in the soul-loving business. I have a business, God says. And when you say yes to my son, you are doing business with me. Now, I'm going to set you up, and I'm going to set you up in this business. And my son is going to pay for you to be in this business. He's going to give his blood. Therefore, when you say yes to my son, and he has let you know that he has shed his blood for you, then we are in business together. We are in the business of the hurt and pain of life. Each of us are in the business to reach down and to help someone. Each of us are in God's business for a reason. God created us to be in his business. The business God has entrusted to you and me is the business of the hearts of his children. And I don't care what age his children are. Think of it. God said, I'm in the business of love. Now, preachers and Christians, we are commanded by God in doing his business to take his love throughout the world. And as we take his love throughout the world, God says, I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Be about my business. What happens to us? We get sidetracked. Sometimes it's just like a teenager first getting out on their own, you know, and the parents have said, now remember this, you don't go over the speed limit, you don't do this and you don't do that. And that dearly beloved child of ours agrees with everything we say. As soon as we can't see, wonder why Dad didn't want me to speed, because I could have fun going fast. I could have more fun doing this. And then life itself is like the staircase. And each one of us will take, every time we take one step up, we're going to fall down about five. That's called living. That's called life. But God says, you're in business with me. So I know I can't fail. Because, you see, I don't have a student loan. I don't have, God said, I paid in full. Therefore, I hope you all caught this morning what I was trying to get across about life. God sets everything in motion, you know, weather, the human existence and the earth, and, you know, everything is here. God says, now, you do what you do. I give you the freedom. A human race, you have the freedom. Do you know that Christianity is the only faith that doesn't demand a sacrifice for you, for the members? Do you know that all other faiths demand that you do something in the earning process? That Christianity, there is no earning. It's already paid for. So therefore, God says, now I give you all this wisdom. But here again, here's the love. He says, now, I'm going to allow you to live life. I want you to see what it's like to be a mother and a father. I want you to experience. Each one of us will have experienced life in our own unique way, whether it's on the battlefield of a foreign country, on the battlefield of here in America, on the battlefield for our health, the battlefield of life. And through that process, God says, now, as you grow, there's going to come a time. See, I've watched my family grow. I've seen what God has done in all of his blessings. And as I get closer to the other side, I've noticed something. That God blesses you with all this. And then he says, now, you've lived life. Dedicate the rest of your life to making sure you share with the world how they can live life at peace. No such thing as failures in Christianity. There's no such thing as God saying, I love you. I will never leave you and forsake you. And then God saying, well, I meant until you made that stupid mistake. After that, I'm gone. No, God doesn't do that. That's us. That's humans. We know from his own word, he says that he is not a man that he should lie. That said a lot about us, doesn't it? Doing business with God, the business that you and I are to be doing, the work God shaped us to do. Psalm 139, 13 through 16, this is the message. Now listen to this. You, God, shaped me. First inside, then out. First inside, then out. Remember the spirit. We are a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. Meaning, let me explain it, because this just dawned on me how I could understand that. Because I am spirit on the inside, the real me in here. You hear me say it all the time. Now, and the body is separate from the real spirit me. How do I know that? Well, the older I get, and all of us, if you've lived any age at all, you can attest to this. My mind, my heart, my spirit says, I still think the same way I did. I think I can do that until I go over to do it and my body won't listen to my spirit or my mind. I can't do it. But inside, I'm still the same Larry Pete. I'm still the same me on the inside. You look in the mirror. We all know that. We don't know who's back there. We know if we're married that either our husband or wife painted that picture of what we're staring at, because that can't be us, because we don't have wrinkles. Because we remember our teenage years. You see, inside the spirit, the real us, never grows old. We never grow old. Randy, you ought to write a song about never grow old. Yeah, good one too, isn't it? Okay, you, God, shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. You know me inside and out. Catch this, as the psalmist keeps saying it. You know everything about me. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, like an open book. That's how he looks into us. You watched me grow from conception to birth. Wonder how come that we do not count the age until we're born. I mean, God started, I'm 9 months old when I dropped into the world. Okay. All stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared. Listen, before I'd even lived one day. Now, the preparation that he is talking about, because he's in the business of preparing us. He's in the business of loving us. He's in the business of placing within our heart love for others. So therefore, then, he's going to watch us as we go through our journey called life. And he's going to give us a direction. Now, remember this. And what we've all said or thought many times was, okay, God says, I want you to go from here is the path, A to B. But God says, no, I've given you the freedom to choose. I will instill within your heart my direction for you. But I want you to go on that journey of life, and I want you to choose A to Z. And on that road, because, you see, folks, we're still responsible. We are responsible. God did not make us into robots. He's just said, I have formed you, and I formed you for a purpose. But I give you all the leeway you need. to fulfill my purpose. Now, how will I know then whether I'm fulfilling his purpose? Well, because you and I, being human beings, when we start going at things, we find closer, to the 60s and 70s, we find out, you know, it'd have been a lot easier on me had I done that another way that we look back on. But God blessed it anyway. It's the mess we have, Lord. I didn't do too hot, did I? What does that have to do with how much he loves me and how much he loves each one of us? So he says, A to Z, I just want you to live. Okay, when does he then get involved? Well, he stays involved, but what many people are saying, when do I see those miracles? The miracle is in us being saved to begin with. The miracle is you and I have life, and we have the freedom of choice. The only faith system that has freedom of choice. Now, you can't be a Muslim and have freedom of choice. You cannot be most any other religion of the world. But when you are a faith-based Christian, meaning our faith is based in Christ, we have that relationship with him, then he says, I'm going to watch you and I'm going to direct you. How many times did you all stand back and with your children when they started to walk? You're standing there just like that. But you wait for them to fall. What'd you do that for? Well, I wanted them to experience that. And, of course, I had a hard time with the grandson Hunter because everybody said his feet would never hit the ground when he was born. But it is. As someone you love, you want to let them stumble, but you want to catch them before they hit. That's the part within our life and within our heart when we deal with our own children. Right? We are so proud of our children. But do you not, moms, dads, haven't we been on a roller coaster with the kids? Yes. I mean, up, down, and sometimes, I think they sort of, God was looking at the roller coaster ride of life and decided to mix the steel roller coasters with the wooden ones that jerk your head off when you go around. And God says, that's life. But it's love. It's love that he's placed in who we are to where we deal with that life because we love our children. We want them to do right. We're just waiting, Lord, what did I do wrong? Life. Moms, dads, it's not that you do wrong. When you love your children, when you do the best that you can, that's what God has asked. But because a child goes into the world, if you have raised that child not to do that, will they come back? Yes, they will. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. How many times have you seen it in your life? Not just in your own family, but you've watched people that would turn back. And the seed had been sown, but they couldn't deal with love at that time, especially if it's coming from a parent. They can't deal. Well, you don't know anything anyway. You only knew. And then you get to be a grandparent, and you are the smartest one in the whole family. The grandparent is the smartest one. And then the teenage disease hits again. And we go through it again as grandparents. And I can just picture all the heavenly host laughing. One of these days, so folks, we're all going to be together. Remember the supper time. We're all going to be together. And it's going to be pure love. The greatest time in our existence is the longest time in our existence, eternity. We just got a few short years. I mean, most of us right now, look at us, we're half dead. Okay, what's my shape? When I'm talking about this, what's my shape? Here they are. You all remember I did a study session on those. Your shape, is your spiritual gifts. You'll have spiritual gifts you don't even know you have. But you will, as we go through life, those spiritual gifts will come forth and will have been. You know, I really believe that when we do enter the eternity with Christ, that we will see then how much of our life that displayed spiritual gifts and we didn't recognize them as spiritual gifts. There's going to be somebody there that you can't imagine that you touch their heart, you touch their life, and they're there thanking us for what? Thanking us for showing Jesus. It's always about Jesus, but how will they know if nobody tells them? And how do we best tell them? Is it not with our own life rather than the words alone? Is it not in how we treat them? All right, we have spiritual gifts and our heart, meaning the spiritual heart, our abilities. Use those abilities that God has given us. Every ability we have is a gift from God. That's our shape. That's what each one of us are different. Your personality, that's a part of you that nobody can copy. Every personality is independent and experiences. All of us have had different experiences in life. Therefore, God says, when you've gone through these experiences right here, then right in front of you, Larry, or he call whoever we are, and he says, this is an individual that I want you to share with. I want you to meet because they're right now are involved in the experiences that I led you through. And so God sends us. That's what our journey is all about. So when we figure out that our shape, and it's not, I'm not talking about the pear and the apple shape. What I'm talking about is the shape of our inner being. And I don't think of it as a pear shape anyway. Since I've been gaining so much weight, I compare myself to a mushroom, one of those big guys. Why is my shape so important? You know, it's amazing if I get through this night, isn't it, Randy? Why is my shape so important? Number one, it reveals God's purpose for me. Jeremiah 1:5, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Yeah, that's pretty important, isn't it? Yes, it is. Isaiah 43:7. Bring me all the people who are mine, whom I made for my glory. Those I've formed and created. Do you realize that all who accept Christ can never perish? And I know y'all have heard me say this many times. That's the good thing. The bad thing is no human being perishes. All spirits will live throughout eternity somewhere. And it's just the choice that we make, or God allows us to make. Number two, it equips me for my life mission and my life message. Got a life mission and a life message. But folks, there's no such thing as being over. It's over. It's every day, you and I have a new beginning. Every day, God has blessed us with a new beginning. Wake up, remember Myrtle Owen? It really just broke her heart when she called me. She said, I broke up this morning and I'm still here. And you know, to think of that, one day we're going to wake up and we're not going to be here. And it won't be long until the rest of us catch up with the other. We won't be here. We'll be with the Lord. And then we're all coming back together. And the ones down here that know Christ, they'll be drawn up to us. before we set foot once again on planet Earth. Why? I don't know. You're going to have to ask the Lord that one. But I know he says it. And then he says, you will reign with me for eternity. Long time. But first, 1,000 years on this earth. Then God will destroy it. God doesn't destroy what he hasn't offered a new time, a new beginning with. He says, if I created, do you really believe that man can destroy what God's created? I mean, that's just so far-fetched. For I can't even believe how all the smart scientists think that. If there's a destruction to the earth, it will be the destruction. And there will be, he says, but he will do it. Okay. Isaiah 49, verse 5. 5. God formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, and he commissioned me. My call to the ministry is a call from God, not by man. Many who want to go into the ministry as a vocation soon drop out of the ministry as a vocation, because the true ministry to God is a calling. You get the call, get the education. Isaiah 43, 21. The people I have shaped for myself, here's a clue, will broadcast my praises. How can you tell whether a person was shaped for God's service? They talk about the Lord. When you talk about Jesus, when you say, sure, I know God exists because he lives in me. And that's us acknowledging Christ as our Lord and Savior. Number 3, God is watching me. He's watching how I use my shape. Psalm 33, 14 and 15. From where he sits, God overlooks all of us on earth. He has shaped each person in turn. Now he watches everything we do. He also watches everything that is done to us. He watches very close as his children are being pushed away, slaughtered. Oh, can you imagine such a slaughter as we see throughout the world? And how many do you see standing up and saying, I can't believe that you're slaughtering all of these Christians? How many people do you see standing up to defend this? Or stand up and saying, we must help them. They're our Christian brothers and sisters. And one of the main reasons is one of the greater sins of our generation, which is self. I don't want to get involved. I don't know if there's anything I can do. Well, I guarantee you, you'll never know if there's something you can't do until you ask God to lead you in that direction. But don't get into it without the direction from God. Pray. People say, well, I don't know what I can do. You can pray, can't you? Pray. And all you need to do is pray, Lord, would you please look and judge? Please look and judge. You and I don't know how tragic all of this is. But I'm afraid it won't be long until we will experience it. In our own nation, in our own little towns, because it's not always somebody else. How do we find the work we're shaped for? You got 3, and then we're going home. Number 1, examine and evaluate our shape. Now, do that on your spiritual shape, because you're going to really get discouraged if you take that literally with your physical shape. Did that come out right, Randy? Oh, yeah. I know what you mean, brother. Romans 12:3. try to have a sane estimate of your capabilities by the light of the faith God has given to you. Okay, then what faith we have is a gift from God. I can't earn faith. I don't know how to train for faith. And the scripture says God has given to you what? The faith. Now, but Lord, why then don't you give me the faith like all these great people here? Well, Larry, why don't you start using the faith I've already given you? Because I'm not going to waste it. Why all the blessings of life? Lord, why does everybody else get the blessings? I'm not saying that because I've been blessed mightily, mightily. But why don't I get the blessings? Maybe I wasn't shaped for them. Maybe the blessings that some would count as a blessing, it would cause damage to the other. Do you ever see some of the folk or meet some of the folk that got wealthy overnight? And over the weekend, they're poor? Huh? Yeah, it all is about how can I serve the Lord? How can you serve the Lord? Number two, experiment and test. Well, we've done that. 1 Timothy 4:15. Put these abilities to work. Throw yourself into your task so everyone may notice your improvement and progress. You know, when we go to restaurants or any of that, or in any of the towns we go, we really enjoy eating out. But I can walk in a restaurant and just about tell you whether it'll be open the next year or not. How? By the service. By whether or not that restaurant really cares whether you come in or not. And it always deals with management. So who's the manager in your life? If you're the manager of your life, change managers. Christ, when he calls you to it, he'll prepare a way for it. But treat others. Treat people. I don't care whether they're worth $1 million. You treat them like they're worth $2 million. And not in money, in precious. They're precious people in the eyes of God. One of the hardest disciplines, and frankly, I haven't learned this yet. I still fight it. I have a horrible time when I know the Lord says, I do not tell you to call cursings on them. I tell you to call for blessings. That's in one of my upcoming messages. And I've read it and read it and read it. Do you know, after you've sat there, and this is very frank, folks, sometimes it's 2 and 3 hours I'm on just a sentence or a word. And it doesn't matter how many times I read it, Brother Randy, the Lord hadn't changed it at all. I guess I keep rereading it, thinking that God will change it. And when I get to the end, when I get to the period, it won't be like it was the first time. It's like watching reruns. Put these abilities to work. Throw yourself into your task so everyone may notice your improvement and progress. Isn't that expressing love? Sometimes if we don't want people to notice us, then don't go somewhere. Everybody's going to be noticed, and everybody's going to be a witness. Good or bad, we're going to be a witness. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever work you do, do your best. But whatever you do, folks, do not take the sandwich back. Foolish, foolish. You tell them how great it was. Give me another one and pay for the other one. Don't take it back. Because not everybody's as sweet as you all are. Okay, number three, step out in faith. Ecclesiastes 11:4, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Have you ever noticed a lot in our life, you know, I'm just waiting for that time. 40 years later, been waiting. Yeah. Remember when I told you all I want you to do is just put that hanger up right there. And I'll get around to it. We've only been in the house 25 years. I thought it looked pretty good. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed. When you commit your work to the Lord, committing your heart into the work, what he's saying is, then I will give you the right plan. It will succeed.